I had a message prepared for this week, but then once Friday came and we heard about Mike, I really felt like the Lord placed something on my heart, something else on my heart. You know, and the title of today's message is At His Feet. And my main text is Mark chapter 14. I'm going through a Bible study. We're looking at the book of Mark with a couple friends of mine. And we talked about this chapter last week, and it really blessed me. So Mark chapter 14, I'm going to go hopefully 3-9. And while he was at Bethany, that's Jesus, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was this ointment wasted like this? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her, but Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Lord God, thank you. Mary was at your feet. That's where we need to be, Lord, at your feet, spending time with you, valuing prayer, valuing reading your word, not because we're supposed to and it's a rule and a regulation, but it gives us life. I want my world point of view to be from your word, O Lord. Father God, speak to us today. Help us to submit. Help us to be encouraged that you are calling us. We're blessed, Lord, in your name. Amen. You know, yesterday, Mel and I took a trip up north. We drove 3 hours total to see this little 10-month-old baby who's our grandson. It wasn't a sacrifice. To see his smiling little face, see my wife make him laugh and laugh and laugh. It was so cool. You know, you go to this pumpkin thing, you do things you would never do because they want you to. What a joy. How about that with Jesus? How about Mary? Do you know in the gospel, Mary is mentioned 3 times, and this is Mary, the sister of Martha. 3 times she's in the gospel. Every time she's at the feet of Christ. Here, and don't get confused with Luke, because there's another person, a converted harlot, who does the same thing, but that's twice this happens to Christ. So Mary's, and if you remember when Lazarus dies and he comes, and you know, she goes to Jesus and she falls at his feet. And she says, "Lord, if you had been here." It's a place of submission. It's a place of complete trust. And what I want to talk about today is we need to be at his feet. She embraced the truth of Jesus Christ. He offers what nothing else can offer us: peace, fulfillment, and joy. The scriptures say godliness with contentment is great joy. Not working hard and saving your money to buy bigger toys. Not whatever. The only place we can get life's contentment is through Jesus. So today I want to talk about humble submission receives powerful grace. Okay, first point I'm going to make, we need complete surrender. You know, the book of Matthew and Mark doesn't name Mary, but the book of John does. You know, this is what I love about Jesus. Where was he in this passage? He was at the home of Simon the leper. Now, we've had this thing a couple years now, almost 3 years, called COVID. And if you remember, I don't know about you, I remember going to the grocery store at 6 o'clock in the morning. Because I was older, I got a chance to do that. You get home and, oh, you got to wash your clothes, you got to put your bags in the garage for 18 months so the germs die and all that. And you talk to somebody on the phone who had COVID, I'm not going near you. How about leprosy? That's ugly. We went to Ghana. Thank you, Lord, I didn't go to market that day. Melody did. She saw a woman with leprosy. I could describe it to you, but I won't because it's gross. So Jesus heals this guy, Simon, evidently, and he's at his house. That's what I want you to understand about Jesus. You are qualified for Jesus to love you if you're breathing. I love how Christ reaches out. I spoke at chapel the other day. How about Zacchaeus? You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. I'm going to stop there. But anyways, he was a Jew who was collecting taxes from other Jewish people, and he was stealing them blind. Maybe you owe the government $1,000. He'd charge you $2, and he'd pocket the rest for the new Lexus. He climbed a tree, because you know they weren't going to let him near Jesus, and Jesus calls him. How about the woman at the well? Married 5 times, shacking up with a guy. We'd have names for that woman. Yeah, Jesus did. Redeemed, because he reached out to her. So do not let the devil tell you, do you remember when you did this? And maybe it was this morning. Okay, that's the past. God redeeming. Let's move forward and sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, forgive me, God. Here I am. I love Mary. Everything about her was Jesus. Can you see her coming in? She brings that container of this perfume. It was pure nard made from a rare plant that was native to India. It cost her a year's salary. You willing to give up a year's salary to prepare Jesus Christ for burial? How about if Jesus said, hey, before you leave today, I want you to sign a sheet that says you're going to turn in a year's salary. The disciples are a bunch of lunkheads. Mary looked at Jesus through the eyes of faith. This is my belief, okay? I'm not saying this is what the scriptures say. This is me. She had more faith than the disciples. What does Jesus say? You anointed me for burial. They deny the fact that he's even going to die. They don't get it yet. They get upset. They scold her. Some of the Gospels say they were led by Judas, who was in charge of the money, and he was a thief. Of course he would get mad, because he would complain. If she gave the money to us, then he could pocket some of it. And what happens? The disciples start scolding her too. That's why we talk about unity here. When we move forward and do things, if we murmur negativity, it spreads like wildfire, and that's not Jesus. And I'm not saying, you know, we just follow blindly. You know that's not what I'm saying. And Jesus also isn't saying helping the poor doesn't matter. That's not what he's saying. He's saying there's a season for everything, and this season, she's preparing me. So think about it. She comes into this house. She ignores everybody. Let's be honest. When Joanne told us to look around, didn't that make you feel awkward? I looked at Melody, I looked back there and said, okay, I'm done. Forgive me, Joanne. I'm serious. We let peer pressure get in our way. This woman went into a house of a bunch of men. She poured the oil on his feet and she watched his feet with her hair. Said, Jesus, nothing but you. How about you today? I love Jesus. When a game's not on. I think there's a game on. Thank you for being here. In London, they're playing this morning, I think. So thank you for being here. Oh, when it's not good weather, I can come to church. But then if it's bad, I got to stay home. Sorry if I'm stepping on toes. We're going to get real for Jesus. We're moving forward. She didn't let anybody get in her way because she cherished what Jesus Christ did for her. Dick Beaumont was bound for hell until August of 1979, when for some reason I understood his truth. We need to intentionally seek Jesus. In pre-morning prayer, pre-service prayer, like what Tom said, we need to engage. We need to engage. You need to engage. You need to be praying, Lord, who's that person you want me to reach out to? Then you don't just pray for them. You call them. You have coffee with them. You do whatever and build the relationship and tell them about the Lord. The complaining of Judas added to the ignorant concerns of the disciples. When I think this, when I think of Mary, I think about the woman in Mark 12. He sat down, Jesus, opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. What did Jesus say? She put in more than everybody. But this rich guy put in $500. Jesus says, yeah, and he still has a whole lot of money at home. This woman has nothing but her faith and said, God, you're telling me to do this. I'm going to do this. He says, truly I say to you, poor woman, more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. See, that's what I want to be our testimony. Everything for Jesus. That was part of Mike's testimony. Mike went to different churches. I called to Augsburg. He called here to Pennsylvania. He, whatever God called him to do, he did it. I want to encourage us about that. What I want to talk to you about today, the second point I'm going to make is we need to have relentless faith. Now, I get excited. I get emotional. That's why I get loud. I'm not angry. I love you guys. I'm pumped for you guys. I'm excited for you guys because God is saying, let me give you the power. Can you do it on your own? No. Can I? No. I need Christ. And what he's saying today is like when we're singing worship, I know the pain of whatever prodigals, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like God said, it's time to stop wallowing in prayer. But it's time to pray in faith and know the victory is there. You know I'm not saying name it and claim it. What I am saying is God is speaking hope to us. Pray from a position of hope, not a position of despair. We need to have relentless faith. I love what Jesus says. Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. There are some of you in this room that you look at yourself and you just have listened to the lies of the people and the enemies. No! God is saying you are. I love you. Is this thing working? Follow her example and give our all. Sorry, I am so distracted right now. Okay. I had Peter come in 2 weeks ago. I had Mike come in, and I'm not going to talk a lot about change today because I'm talking about being at the feet of Jesus. Why did I have them Because we need to position ourselves where God wants us to be so that we follow him in the direction he's leading us. I love who we are, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what we did. What I am saying is God is taking us in a new direction. Now, somebody asked me this week, you must have some really big ideas about faith, and let me tell you, that is so not true. I don't know what this change is going to look like. I just know God is saying to seek him. So I'm going to be at his feet and say, Lord, when you tell us to move, we're going to move. The Jewish custom to get somebody ready for burial was to anoint them. So Mary understood this. She comes to Jesus and she anoints him. She understood it, I think, more, as I said earlier, than the disciples did. Hebrews.
Don't get old and wear hearing aids. Amen. Anyways, Hebrews 11:1, hope to say. And now, this is really great. Thank you, Jeff, if that was you. Faith is assurance of all things longed for. You know what? Slewfoot ain't going to distract me today. Assurance. Faith is assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. You know what? God is speaking to us today. We need to trust him. We need to trust him and stand for him. The state of California is passing a law, they might have, that okay, abortion's legal, so is perinatal abortion. What's that, Pastor? Not prenatal, they call it perinatal, up to 4 weeks after birth. Maryland got voted down. New York State is looking to move in that direction. There's another in the fire standing next to me. No. The darkness ain't going to quench me. I'm going to quench the darkness through the power of Jesus Christ. God has placed us here to be a beacon of light. To be a beacon of light. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Why, since January 25th of 2010, have I told you to pray for the one person? Because you're called to light somebody's fire. Not Jim Morrison and the Doors, I'm not talking that. But I'm saying I want to build a relationship. So we can, hey, friend, let's have coffee, whatever, play cornhole, whatever you want to do. Let me tell you about my faith. Can I do that? But I'm afraid. Good. When you start to share and you feel that pump in your chest and you start to sweat, and it happens to me too, that's wonderful because it's showing you how much you need the power of the Holy Spirit working within you. We need relentless faith. I'm going to go home sometime today. I'm going to watch me some football. I'm not going to play football. Don't watch Christianity. Be a part of the game. God is calling you. One person. Think about it. We all go after one person. If we do that year after year, I think the church would grow. I am not looking to build up New Covenant Community Church. God help me. I'm looking up to build the church of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when I go, I want to take as many with me as I can. My dad had a stroke. 28 years ago Tuesday, my dad died. Tonight, in the middle of the night, the Lord woke me up at a hospital in Hamilton. I shared with the Lord, with my father. I said, you have to make a decision, and he did. I want to take as many with me as I can. Maybe your gift isn't evangelism. It's okay. Let God strengthen you, one person. It's time to engage. It's time for us to be like Mary. And I'm talking to myself. Please understand, I'm talking to myself too. I don't want my fears and what other people think of me. I'm going to enter that room. I'm going to pour that all over Jesus' feet. I'm going to wash it with Melody's hair and just, you know, say, Lord, I just want everything. It'd be hard with mine. This is a phrase I heard years ago and I like. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. 1 Timothy 6:6, I said earlier, godliness with contentment is great gain. Simon the leper, Jesus is having dinner with him. Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, good reputation she had. When I first started dating my wife, she worked in Syracuse, and I had to pick my brother up at the train station at 1:30 in the morning. So being a country bumpkin from Morrisville, New York, she takes me up South Warren Street at 1 in the morning. First time I ever saw a prostitute. I turned to her and said, wow, they really do dress like in the movies. Jesus came for them. Jesus hung out with them. Jesus loved them. That's why he had a bad reputation. I don't want to just hang out with squeaky clean people. I hang out with people, and sometimes they say words I don't want to hear. Sometimes they use God's name, and they ain't praying. I don't melt. When it's appropriate, I rebuke, because I know they're deceived. These people in California, they're deceived by the devil. We need to love them and pray for them. We need to pray for New York. We need to pray. Quit getting mad at people. Get mad at the devil. And pray for them to be enlightened. The same love that Jesus had for Simon, for Mary, for the woman at the well, he has that for you. He has that for me. He doesn't love me any special because I'm up here, or Bill and Joanne because they're up there. He loves us all the same, and that's what God is saying to us. I want to spend time with you. When I go to my little grandson, you know, he'll just sit in my lap. We just hang out together. He doesn't talk to me. Well, he does, but I don't have the interpretation of what he's saying yet. And I realize that's what God wants with me. Well, I'll read and I'll do my formal, you know, my prayer. But sometimes I just grab my coffee. I just sit there and say, Lord, we're just going to hang out together. Just like friends. I'm just going to sit here, Lord. I might have some, you know, I put on Christian instrumental music and just sit there. And I don't think, and I just let the Lord touch me. See, God's saying, I want you to spend time with me. Whatever you're facing, Jesus is reaching out to you. You know, we sang that song, There's Another in the Water. I remember being in Eaton Brook. I'm a senior in high school. Just before my senior year, a bunch of us are swimming, and I was not a swimmer. The only place I like to swim is Colgate University in Hamilton, New York, because I think they use a lot of chlorine because I actually float. So anyways, I'm in Eaton Brook, and we swim, and I'm not a swimmer, man, from one end to, like, the other side of the church to this big old dock thing in the middle of the lake. Then we go back, and I'm tired. And I'm the last one, and I'm thinking, I'm not calling for help because I'm a 17-year-old male and we got testosterone coming out our ears. So, I'm panicking on the inside. Each stroke, I'm swimming, I'm putting my foot down, no ground yet, so I keep going, and I'm fearful. Finally, I touch ground. Thank you, Lord. Some of you are in life right now, you're paddling, man. You might be doing the dog paddle, I don't know, and you feel like you're sinking. Well, you are. Then cry out to Jesus. Jesus today is saying, I want you not to be at my feet like a dog, but to submit your life to me and surrender and allow me to touch you. You see, when we let God touch us and our faith increases, we are confident that God is going to come through for us, that God is going to move. We all endure places where your faith is weak. Hello, join the club. I do that daily. There's times I preach in the morning and the afternoon, I'm struggling with the very topic I talked on in the morning. Just because we're up here does not mean we have it down. It means God wants to use our mouths. We need to choose to stand strong in the end. So Jesus does this stuff and people are hanging with him. Then everybody leaves. And he goes to the disciples, say, "You guys taking off?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Roger Goodell doesn't have words of eternal life, NFL commissioner. Your boss doesn't have the words of eternal life. Your kids. I love my grandbaby. He don't come before Jesus. Sorry. Jesus gave him to me. God is saying today, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to close in prayer in a minute, but to a summary conclusion, relentless faith isn't stopped by the opinions of others. We have to stop not moving forward, but what will they think? What will they think? I shared this before. I remember years ago, I went to a very popular movie shortly after I came to know the Lord. The place is packed, and I'm sitting next to the wall. And I hate sitting next to the wall. I like to be on the aisle. And all of a sudden, in this very popular movie, they're mocking out Jesus Christ. And the Lord said to me, "Leave." Now, I had driven quite a ways with this good friend of mine, and the movie was like 15 minutes in. So I did what any strong Christian would do. I said, "No, not moving." What do you think happened to my insides after that? I had no peace. And I knew God said, "Really?" So I turned to my friend and said, "I'm leaving. Catch you later." I walked around the stupid store called Ames for 2 hours. Now, I'm a guy. I can go in Ames and out of Ames. 15 minutes tops. Everything I want is in my cart, and I'm gone. 2 hours. Talk about sacrificing for Jesus. Because I knew, and I heard, I got mocked out for that for 10 years. I knew I had to do what God called me to do. So relentless of what others think. If God says, "I want you to bend down and worship me and put your hands in the air," we don't do this for show. I do this for surrender and say, "Lord, I love you. You do what God calls you to do. He's going to empower you." Mary valued Jesus above everything. And she paid whatever price she had to. You don't have to give up your money for Jesus. You just have to be willing to. We easily go off track if we fail to keep Jesus front and center. Jesus' love, listen to this, close your eyes. Jesus' love does not stop if we stumble and go off course. He doesn't accept our sin. When we repent, he forgives us. Quit wallowing in the ditch when Jesus is waiting on the road for you to keep going. Amen. Open your eyes, fully embrace and commit to Jesus Christ. Now close your eyes again because we're praying. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for Mary, Lord. You were in their house. Martha, she working her tail off, cooking and cleaning. She's getting everything under control, which is a good thing, but it wasn't the right time. And she complains to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, Mary is just sitting at your feet." And Jesus, you basically said, "Yeah, you should be too." See, Lord, I don't earn good relationship with you by the things I do. I earn that through a submitted life, surrendered fully to you. Lord, what you're speaking to us this morning is hope and peace. You are calling us today to get in right relationship with you. To be like Mary. To just say, "Lord, I just want to be with you. I just want you to strengthen me." Lord, why is it we can look at you as Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, Simon the leper, Matthew, who is a tax collector, all these people, Lord, that were social outcasts. Today's term, some of the people you hung out with, we'd call them whores. Why can we read and accept that, but sometimes not accept that you love us? Lord, you know I deal with insecurity. You know the times I have doubted your love for me. Forgive me for that. Today, Lord, you are speaking to everybody in this room that you love us. In John 3, you tell Nicodemus, no man, no person can get to heaven unless they are born again, which means born from above. Which means as a conscious adult, I say, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Yes, the wages of sin is death. You died on the cross, Jesus. Now, here comes the clincher. It's up to me. Do I own my sins and assure myself an eternity in hell? Or do I say, Lord, forgive me and transfer all of my sins onto you, Jesus? But the next step is I repent, which means I'm going to live a different way. Come into my life, come into my heart, which means I'm surrendered, Lord, and I have a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. When you look down at me, Lord, you don't see the sins of my past. You see the indwelling of Jesus Christ in my heart. So I pray today, Lord, for anybody who has not made that commitment, that they would do that right now. And I pray for those, Lord, that maybe they've walked with you for a while. It's a day for a recommitment. It's a day to say, sign me up, Jesus. I'm going on further with you. Lord, let us recommit as I end up in prayer here, Father, to say yes and amen. Lord, I want my heart, I want our heart to be like Mary's. She was a woman of faith. She knew what was coming, I believe. She anointed you regardless of the thoughts of others. When the disciples and Judas were scolding her, she just kept going. Why? Nothing was stopping that woman from Jesus. Let nothing stop us from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and blessings.